Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here because I have a brand new friend that is joining me on this episode today. His name is Dennis Neal. He's been a longtime reporter for many newspapers, and he's also been an anchor on Fox Business, and now he's a contributor for Newsmax. So I'm excited. We're going to tackle so many different topics about what we experience being in the media and also what is happening around the world, and I'm going to get his take on all of that. So it's going to be a great show. So like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That would be so appreciative if you could help support the show in any kind of way. Hey, I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May, and Clout Hub, so find me there. If Bidenomics has been difficult for you, I have a debt calculator on my website. I'd love for you to check it out at theambermayshow.com. Click there, and then you're going to find the debt calculator on the website to help you just pay out your debt and find out a strategy on how to do it better and faster and easier. So check that out at theambermayshow.com. Hey, if you're looking for a good, nice cup of coffee that's not going to have 100 pesticides in it, because did you know that most coffees have 100 pesticides or more? They have a lot of pesticides in our coffee that we drink every day, so we're drinking in poison. Well, not with acupahealth.com. With acupahealth.com, we have a turmeric in there that helps the body, and we also have this great muscadine grape that's in this coffee, and this muscadine helps. It's an antioxidant, and it helps detoxify the body from all the garbage that we find from our environment. So if you want a healthy coffee that's going to actually help you lose weight, give you mental clarity, because that's what this coffee does. It's great. It's a health coffee, and it tastes amazing. It's creamy, it's vanilla, and it has things that are going to help your body instead of harm your body, then you're going to want to go to cupahealth.com and use promo code Amber at checkout. Cupahealth.com, use promo code Amber at checkout, and check the links below, because I always add more there in the links below or on my website at theambermayshow.com. Without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Dennis Neal to the program. Like I told you, I have Dennis Neal joining us today. I'm so super excited to have you on. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. It's great to see you. I appreciate your time, Amber.
I want to send a big shout out to our mutual friend, Alan Sanders of the Alan Sanders Show. You can find Alan Sanders wherever you find your podcast. And he brought the two of us together. So big shout out to Alan Sanders. I've become a big fan of his. So you've known him for quite a while, right?
Yeah, we came across each other on Twitter, which is the great meeting place, isn't it, for various voices and different voices to be heard. And then we just took a liking to each other. I've always wanted to have views, of course, and express them, but it's better if your views are fact-based and statistics-based instead of just ideology only, as we see a lot of today. And Alan Sanders is such a, you know, he's his former Intel kind of a Navy guy, and he's so into doing this incredible research. So that's one reason I like his stuff.
And he's impressive to me because he does it super fast, in my opinion. I don't know how long it takes him to do a show. So he gets done with the radio station, and then he does some background work and does some research on a show, and then he puts out a phenomenal program. So I encourage everyone to go check out Alan Sanders, but you are no stranger to finding the truth out. You've been a journalist for a long time. You've worked at some really well-known papers. I'd love my audience to get to know you a little bit about your career, your background.
Sure. Well, a journalist was all I ever wanted to be. And I got a lucky break, and I grew up in South Florida, and I started at the Fort Lauderdale News Sun Sentinel. It's now just the Sun Sentinel. And, got a lucky break, got nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for feature writing, because I did this this is the start of my career. And I did this story on a woman who was kind of beaten and left for dead in the woods, half buried in Fort Lauderdale. And she gets rescued, but they name her Jane Doe. She goes into a mental hospital. They don't know. She doesn't know who she is. Total global amnesia. The mind's trick to, you know, kind of save you from bad stuff, apparently. So I see a little blurb in the Miami Herald where she's actually, they said, hey, does anyone know this lady? She's in the mental hospital. And I invoke Florida law. I get to see her. We write a big story. It's who is Jane Doe? It goes national. She goes on Good Morning America. She's reunited with her family after 13 years. She went away from home. You know, she's in her early 30s. That's not only for Pulitzer Prize. Doesn't win. But the Wall Street Journal editor in that category writes a letter through the mail, because we didn't have email addresses that long ago. And he says, hey, I loved your Jane Doe stories. Could you send a copy of it here? We admire fine writing of the journal. So you get a lucky break like that, Amber, in your career. And then you're grateful the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And so I spent 30 years, Wall Street Journal, managing editor of Forbes magazine, on to be an anchor at CNBC for 3 years, and then jumped to Fox Business. And then 2014, 15 minutes notice, fired. Your contract not renewed, let out by a security guard. And then you have to start reinventing yourself. First, you're certain that all these offers from the networks will come flooding in, because now you have 6 years experience. And my God, you were so good on television, Dennis. You're just great. But, you know, you also got to be likable. And the people who last longest on television are good at being less controversial rather than more so. And so no one would hire me for the networks, and then no one would hire me in print media because they're devastated, right? The internet kind of disintermediated all of that. And what do you do? So you start to reinvent. So you go into crisis advice and some of that PR stuff. And then finally, though, getting into this podcast 50 episodes ago, the 50th episode is coming out this week. That gave me that new voice. And now I've joined something that you've been doing for well over 10 years, which I really admire, because it takes a real grit and just keep going and going. And I, at the very least, you know, all of us need more of a voice today. We need to stand up and fight back and be heard. And I think we're in trouble today because not enough of us have pushed back and said, wait a minute, this is going too far. This is crazy. So that's what I'm there for.
Oh, I love it. And the name of your show is?
What's Bugging Me?
And
it turns out
the
answer is quite a bit. Yeah, it works well. The thing is, if you're going to do it strategically, well, W, if you're listening, shows alphabetically, it's down at the bottom. Then you got your what apostrophe S. Well, a lot of people don't know that that what is bugging me. You need that apostrophe. So if you search, does it show or not? I mean, there's these different things. And but the reason it's what's bugging me is because when I was at Fox Business Network, 2010 to 2014, I had a twice a week rant, 60 seconds, all of 60 seconds, to say what's bugging me. And they had this logo that showed me with my glasses shattering and my face turning red. And it was very entertaining. And then I took that with me when I left with the terms with them. And then I've turned it into a column at Newsmax and a hit on Newsmax every Sunday and the podcast. So there's synergy, baby. Synergy.
That's awesome. You know, 60 seconds is a long time, believe it or not, because working in radio, like when we would have clients come in and I'm like holding up 30 seconds sign, and I would tell them, trust me, 30 seconds is a lot longer than you think.
Right.
And I said, please don't just wrap up as soon as you see 30 seconds, because it's a lot longer than you think. Like 60 seconds in broadcast land, that's a good amount of time.
Sure.
You can get a lot said in 60 seconds.
You can. And the great thing, though, about podcasting is that longer format. And mm-hmm. I'm not into these pods that'll go on for 3 and 4 and 5 hours. No one has time, not even the people who are on the pod, to listen to that. It's just that to be able to talk for 5 minutes on a topic or 10 minutes instead of, you know, when we redid the show and I was an anchor at Fox Biz, I remember we had in a 48 minutes, you know, because an hour has 48 minutes of program. We had 24 tosses. So, you know, nothing could ever kind of stretch and go longer when it got hot and was interesting and says, sorry, we've got all these, you know, got to toss. And, you know, television does that out of fear and out of underestimating the intelligence of the audience. They're so afraid that they're going to lose viewers. So that they're constantly, oh, there's this, look at that, squirrel. And podcasting gets around that, doesn't it?
I love that about podcasting, because you're right. But maybe it's by design. Maybe they don't want us to be that smart and informed, because, you know, the people in Congress, they seem to think that we're all a bunch of dummies, that we don't know anything, and they're so much smarter than us because they have a political office and they know everything. And who are we to say anything, because they are the smart ones? Like they treat us like we are stupid. And I don't think the American people are stupid. I think we are bright people, and long formats are great because maybe we do want to dive in deeper on a topic. And there's so much going on in the world that maybe we want to learn more about this particular topic or this particular story. And we should be able to do that. And so I'm glad that the news, see, I thought about going back into mainstream, but I think everything's shifting now to online, because think about it. Your phone is everywhere with you all the time. Or if you're not on your phone, you have your tablet or your laptop close by. And you even have smart TVs now where you could search for a podcast and probably find it. So I think it's a dying dinosaur. I mean, what's your opinion on it?
Well, the good news is my friends at Newsmax, and a network I like a lot, they've inherited a lot of defectors from Fox News because people felt Fox was going a little too much non-conservative. And so Newsmax has gained. And so they're gaining in a dying market, though. You know, cable penetration, I think cable homes that actually subscribe to cable television, it may be down below the 50% mark, which is remarkable because we had incredible cable reach for, you know, 10 or 20 years was growing and growing. Mm-hmm. But now they need only the access to that internet, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a dying market ultimately. And I think podcasts are the future, at least for the next 5 to 10 years more. And then there'll be something, I guess, that comes along and replaces that, perhaps. It's just that I feel like having a voice today is more important than ever before, especially a voice that might be based on facts, because the entire media have utterly diverted, right? Diverged. And you've got the far right and the far left. And unfortunately, the left liberal media is the biggest part of the mainstream media. It's a true stat that something like 6 or 7 companies now own 90% of our news and information outlets. Fox is the one prominent kind of more conservative voice, but that's son running it, Lachlan Murdoch, who's inheriting it from Rupert. He wants to be accepted in New York cocktail society. And so I think he's going to move the network more and more toward the, not even the middle, but just toward some liberal stances. And so not enough people are pushing back, and we just take the media's account as being the right account when they've been so fundamentally wrong on so many things. And Amber, the thing that kills me is that when I was a reporter for the better part of 30 years, I had curiosity and always I wanted to go contrarian. And when all the fish are swimming in one direction, you dart the other way. So when everyone is saying that, oh my gosh, Trump is owned by the Russians, he colluded in the election, et cetera, you naturally, as a journalist, want to dart the opposite. Wait a minute, let's look at it. And if the Times and the Washington Post would have done that, they would have learned that the entire Russiagate thing was architected by the Hillary Clinton campaign, that they paid $6 million, was it, for the Steele dossier that then made up the lies, that then the FBI then took the dossier and leaked it to BuzzFeed, and then BuzzFeed put it up, and then the FBI took the BuzzFeed story and went to the court, the foreign surveillance, said, we really need to look into this. Look at these reports, which the FBI had leaked, and all of that because of what Hillary Clinton did. And the New York Times and the Washington Post, Amber, they do these series of stories that win a Pulitzer Prize for each of them about Russiagate, and they never learn any of that. Now, is it because they were lying and they had that and they didn't tell us? They were deceiving us, or is it because they didn't even know? Because they themselves are so brainwashed and deceived and so kind of blinders on that they just didn't even see it.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at meehanmd.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com, for all your health care, supplemental, and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store, and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health, because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to meehanmd.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment. And then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's NeehanMD.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
My towels solved a problem that we've all had with towels. You go into the stores and they feel lotiony and soft, but then you get them home and they wind dry you. That's why I made my towels. They actually work, they're soft, and they absorb. And now I'm excited to announce two brand new lines of my towels. What makes them the best towels ever is they're now made with 100% long staple Shapir cotton. This is a combed ring spun cotton that makes my towels even softer and more absorbent than ever. And now you get a 6-piece set for an amazing introductory sale price as low as $29.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get my towels for only $29.98. Or you can get my designer premium line for just $20 more. Either way, you save 50% now on all my towels. They actually work. What a concept. This offer won't last long, so please order now.
MyPillow.com.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Well, maybe that, but it goes back, I think, to what you just said earlier about there's very few owners that own all the media. So if the owners of all the media do not want these stories, and we have seen that on social media where they have blocked people like me and deplatformed people like me who said I was bringing disinformation. You know, my background is I went to journalism school, and the one thing that they preached in journalism school when you go in the real world is a little different is fact check, fact check, fact check. That's all they like would drill into you. You need a fact check. You can't just bring this stuff out without having all your ducks in a row. And then you get into the real world and you're like, wow, the news media doesn't really fact check, because there's no, at least in TV, there really wasn't, from what I saw in as an intern. I never worked at a TV station except as internships for Fox 10. There really wasn't too much time to fact check, because the next broadcast was coming on, the next broadcast was coming on, and the next broadcast was coming on. And so you only had so many minutes to figure it out. So they would get a lot of their news stories from the AP. So if the AP wasn't fact checked, and they didn't spend time fact-checking, then all these other news agencies are going to have misinformation, disinformation, not factual information, potentially. And all the rest of us are absorbing that in. So I would like to know your perspective. Like, we know that the mainstream media is very compromised now. It's one agenda, and that's all it is. And again, I think it goes back to the owners. And they funnel in the information and say, this is all you're going to do. When you would pitch a story, did you ever get pushback? Or when you would report something, did you ever find that people were saying, no, you can't say that. You got to rewrite it. You got to say it this way.
That kind of thing happens all the time now, all the time. It's how Barry Weiss has created the Free Press and an amazing new career for herself after she got basically drummed out of the New York Times editorial pages, where she was an editor, and she resigned, all because the entire staff had a snit because they ran an editorial from, was it Tom Cotton, the Republican senator, and they had a big, you know, petition they signed. And you guys, many of you were newsroom employees at the Times. You're supposed to be kind of hiding your political opinions. You know, a couple threads here for you, I think, Amber, because you bring up a really interesting topic. First, fact-checking now is just political, more political blood sport. You know, it's interpreting the facts whatever way you want. I'm embarrassed when I see the fact-checking at the major media outlets, including CNN and the Washington Post and other outlets, because they're so slanted in their view, and I can differ with their facts easily with other real stats. So fact-checking itself has become tainted. But second, you know, way early in my career, because I wanted to be a journalist since I was 10 years old, way early at the University of Florida, Ben Bradley, legendary editor of the Washington Post during Watergate, portrayed by Jason Robards and all the President's Men, a great old movie. Ben Bradley comes to campus and he makes a speech, and I'll never forget it because I was there, and he came by the newspaper office later, and I was working on a big story, big investigation, where you tape all of the typewritten pages that you glue them into a long thing because they're doing that in the typesetter. And he comes in and he says, yeah, you want to make that story better? Cut that entire thing in half. And so Ben Bradley says, look, newspapers, and he really meant all media, print lies, because newspapers print what people tell them. And look at what happened with the New York Times instantly reporting that the Israelis had bombed a hospital,
yep.
killed hundreds. And it turned out to be a bomb that landed, a missile, not a bomb, that landed in a parking lot, not the hospital, that didn't kill hundreds. And it was sent by a Palestinian terrorist organization. But the Times went right away, because the Times was printing what people told them. The Times was printing what the terrorist organization Hamas, as defined by the U.S. State Department, told it. So Ben Bradley said that in the late 1970s, and it's more true than ever today. You know, now news isn't what happens. News can simply be, hey, this public official said this really mean thing on Twitter, and he said this, and people are really upset that he said a mean thing on Twitter. It's just what people say. And yet, that leads into this second other thing, and I'm sorry to filibuster here, Amber, this whole concept of harmful content. As soon as you decide that there is some content, there are some words on a screen or words on a page printed that can do harm. They can leap up off that screen or page and smack you in the face and break your leg. As soon as we decide there is some content that's harmful, well, now we have to censor it. But how about you just don't watch it? How about you just turn that channel, the way we used to say? And this harmful content thing, we're all a bunch of willy-nilly, fearful, fretful people. Oh my God, the content on Twitter is going to hurt me. And government is using that silly fear as a way of censoring the views of you and conservatives and lots of others.
Well, what I'm sad about is when I was in journalism school, they were saying, thank God that we have a free press, because this country and that country, they have media controlled by the government, but not us. We have a free press. And I was so excited to be a part of that, because my goal in wanting to be a journalist was to hold the government accountable to the people, the fourth branch of government, so to speak. That was my goal. That's why I wanted to go into it. I've been wanting to be a broadcaster since I was 4 years old, making my first radio show on my tape recorder with my microphone. I always had a radio in my hand. I mean, I always knew I wanted to be a broadcaster. And so that was my goal going into it. And I'm thinking, wow, we're so lucky we live in America with a free press. And then when you get into when you find out now, like looking back now, like how unfree it was. Like I was so blessed that I worked at an AM station, because I interned at Fox 10. I'm like, yes, I'm going to be in TV and I want to be in TV, until I interned at a radio station. And then I was like, screw TV, radio is way more fun. And what I loved about where I worked, I was at AM station. I got the combination of both worlds, talk and radio, where it was more laid back, but it was still very informative. And we could still get information out. And nobody in our corporate office was saying, don't say that. You can't say that. You can't have that. It was your airtime. And you said what you wanted to say. And I love that about our station. But now we're realizing, wow, everything's controlled. And now on social media, you trying to put something truthful out and they take you down. It's just like, and then we see with the Twitter files, you know, how the government's colluding with these big tech companies to censor out political opponents, the truth about COVID,
the worst
elections.
It is the worst, most massive government violation of the First Amendment right to free speech in the history of our country, Amber. And where's the rest of the media going after this and attacking it? Instead, they attacked Twitter files. They attacked the reporters who did it. They attacked Elon Musk for revealing it. And all I can think of is one day we're going to learn that all you guys, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, the four horsemen of the liberal media, and then all of these satellites around them, that all you were in on it. You too were getting visits from the FBI warning you about misinformation so that you would not be upset when Twitter tried to crush the New York Post scoop on the Hunter laptop.
Oh, you know, the thing about radio, Hunter Biden.
Yeah. The thing about radio, talk radio and opinion saved radio. And it's interesting. We always, and I've covered business for over 30 years, and we always overestimate how fast the new stuff will arise and replace all the old stuff. And we underestimate how good the old stuff is at adapting and surviving and consuming, you know, the things that would wipe it out. And so radio is still here, and the internet has made radio stronger. And, you know, it's not quite dying out, and maybe podcasts will come along and wipe out both radio and TV someday. But it all goes back to that opinion and talk and views and information. And I think the weird thing today, though, is I feel like audiences don't want to hear a dissenting view, and they don't want to hear the opposite world on both sides, but especially liberals, because their beliefs have no foundation of fact and outcome and proof. And so it's just all ideology and claim. And so they don't want to hear a rival view. I have liberal friends. And if you start to say, well, actually, you think trans are being oppressed and murdered across the country, but it turns out that the statistics show, actual real crime stats show, that trans murder rate is one third as high as the overall average murder rate for all Americans. And also it shows that many of the murders, it turns out, are sex workers, and the way that many women of a certain age killed turn out to be killed by, you know, and they were sex workers. It's a very dangerous profession. So it's not because haters of trans people are going out looking to kill them. And then you hear all of this oppression. And I wrote an op-ed on this last, you know, months ago in the Washington Examiner. You hear all this oppression claim about trans, and you do the stats, you look at them, Amber, and how many trans murders are there a year? It's like 45. And the same thing with black, unarmed black shootings, disputed shootings by the cops. Okay, all of nations, these are real figures. Heather McDonald is an expert who's done this. She's done amazing work, Amber. In all of America, there's 750,000 to 1 million cops. They have a couple hundred million interactions every year with the 330 million Americans. Out of that, 1,000 shootings roughly per year nationwide by cops killing people. 50, 60% of those deaths are white. Overwhelming the 1,000 shootings, Amber, people were shooting back and people were attacking and trying to kill cops, whatever. So you take the disputed shootings, it's maybe a dozen or so per year in which some white cop shot some black unarmed kid, and it leads to all these marches. But it's only a dozen or 15 or so a year. But I've had friends tell me, oh, it's thousands. They're sure that it's thousands. Yeah. And that's the thing. Liberal ideology is not based on stats. It's how they feel.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought the Hunter Biden laptop story, because something that's not sitting well with me is this Israel war. But I also want to get into some other stuff. I picked up some headlines that I wanted your opinion on, but I do want your opinion on this. I don't typically believe in coincidences, but before Speaker McCarthy lost his speakership, they had inquiries, impeachment inquiries, and there was more and more evidence about the Biden crime family. And then the speakership lost, so we are now not hearing anything about the Biden crime family. But soon after, we're not hearing anything about the Biden crime family, Joe Biden sends Iran like all this money. And then, boom, this attack on Hamas. What we do know is China, Iran, and Russia are all in together, working together. And we, as our elected officials, they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth. They're saying we are pro-Israel, and yet we're handing Hamas all this money. We also know the Biden crime family is bought and paid for by China. So I don't see any of this as a coincidence. I think the ends justify the means. I'd like your opinion on it. It could be different than mine. I think some of it's a deflection, like, oh, well, who cares who dies at the end? Now China doesn't have to worry about them losing their presidential candidate, their presidential power, because he's still in office and he's not being investigated right now. And so their money that they bought and paid for is still secure. And so this war thing, I think, is partly distraction, partly people. We all know people, they funnel money through war efforts. We found that out with Ukraine. We also know the military industrial complex. There's people getting paid billions, millions of dollars to have war. My whole entire life, Dennis, has been in war. My whole entire life, we have been at war. Someone's making money. What's your opinion on this coincidental crime family money thing?
Right. So there's an awful lot to unpack there. By the way, that's what a lot of the guests that I bring on, what's bugging me. I try to bring on a guest every week if I can find it, because I feel like people would much rather hear from other people than from myself. Okay. But I'll ask these questions and I'll cite all these things. And then they'll always start with, well, that's a lot to unpack there. Because I had this lawyer come on, an advisor to Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, Lanny Davis. And he said, Dennis, you got to stop asking questions that are like compact pound exercises. I have four different elements to them. Because it, he says, it allows someone like me to just answer the only thing I want. Like, you had so much in there that I can instead just do anything I want with it, but answer one thing at a time. Okay. So you obviously know a lot of what's going on, and you read so much more in the news, right? Because so many people could not even tick off the things that you just ticked off, Amber, in terms of what's going on now. But the question for me then, the next big question becomes, so is it all leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the hip bone? Does this lead to that, that led to that, that led to that?
That's where my mind is going.
Well orchestrated? Yeah. Are they really that good? Or is it instead, there's this overall battle between smart and dumb and good and evil, and then different things unfold, and then they do kind of connect, but they weren't cause and effect. But yes, they are related. When Joe Biden, my gosh, that was hilarious this week, Amber. Did you see this? You see the image of a check. It's a handwritten personal check where the brother is writing to Joe Biden $200,000, $200,000 and XX, you know, on a handwritten check, which he got the very same day he received, you know, a $200,000 payment from a tech company looking for government support and stuff like that. Just incredibly funny. And we know they got money from China. And then the other side, the Democrats, keep saying, where's the evidence? Well, how's about a handwritten check? I mean, you guys couldn't arrange a wire transfer. You actually had to write a check for this. I mean, it's rather hilarious. And you're not going to see a whole lot of coverage of that in the media, right? They're in on it. I think what happened, you know, okay, so if you had to, well, Occam's razor would say that stuff just, I mean, the most likely explanation is the right one, right? I'm not sure that it's a likely explanation that every single thing here is connected, but instead it all works toward the same goals and effect. I mean, every president in the U.S. who has ever been in trouble domestically with economic problems, we've got high fuel prices, high food prices now, Jimmy Carter did, they saved themselves in foreign crisis. And maybe that's why Biden jumped in with both feet for Israel more than we ever expected him to, because Obama was the most anti-Israeli president ever, Trump the most pro-Israeli president ever, but then in comes Biden, who is an Obama clone, and yet he came out so strong. Well, he's diverting attention from all of those domestic scandals and the weaponization investigation, right? And the Hunter Biden stuff and Hunter's. I mean, we're not talking about any of that anymore. Now, it's not that he created the Hamas attack on Israel so that he could do that. It's not cause and effect. But now that the Hamas attack on Israel has happened, he can get way out in front, even as he privately undermines Israel and says, hey, you really ought to hold back and have a ceasefire or something, the way we didn't do in Afghanistan when the Taliban let the Al-Qaeda run the 9/11 attacks. Sure, we didn't exactly hold for a ceasefire either, did we? But yeah, he ends up using it to his advantage for those very same objectives you're talking about, right? So yes, it's there, but they're simply not good enough to be able to orchestrate all of that. And it is weird, though, that what he's done now is he's done tied Israel to Ukraine. What he really wants is to fund the Ukraine war.
Yeah.
And that's what he supports.
Yes, he gets but now he's saying,
oh,
that.
We'll fund Israel, but you got to be funding Ukraine too. Yep. Guns and guns. It used to be guns or butter. Now it's guns and guns. And yet, I think that Israel is a pretty rich country. It has great technology. I'm not sure Israel is some feeble, weak, wobbly little enterprise that needs our help no matter what. Man, Israel's holding back because Biden is asking him to, but they're plenty powerful. And they have plenty of justification, I think, to go in and try to wipe out the terrorist organization, Hamas, which the media doesn't call them terrorists anymore.
I know.
It calls them Palestinian fighters and militants. These people who took shovels and
babies.
Dismembered, they're not fighters.
No.
And they're not soldiers. And they're not militants.
No.
They're terrorists. Monstrous terrorists. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
But the media
if Biden
had
never released the money to Iran, if he hadn't have done that, would we be talking about Israel today? I don't know.
Yes.
I do know.
Yes. Entirely. No. Think about it. We know now that they were planning this intricately for a year to 2 years. They're planning the attack. We know that they went in, they had maps of kindergartens and schools and hospitals so they could go take hostages. We know that they were told ahead of time how much money they would receive for each hostage they brought back to Hamas, these terrorists who went around killing people. That doesn't all happen because, hey, $6 billion transfer for humanitarian reasons. Let's go ahead and do this, right?
That's fair.
It's just that, yeah. It's just that that $6 billion, nonetheless, like you say, it did embolden them. It did make them say, well, why not? I mean, look what they just did. It did add to the confidence with which they proceeded, right? Yeah. And why have we not truly, not just delayed it, but seized it and said, here's $6 billion in aid through the Israelis to give to Palestinians injured in the Hamas counterattack. Yeah.
I mean, like you said, that they've been dealing with these tunnels for a long time. That's not new. You're right, because that takes planning, and these are great tunnels. I get that. I totally get that. And we have tunnels here in the United States, and they're not doing anything about the tunnels here in the United States, because the cartel uses the tunnels within the United States. This whole thing is such a dereliction of duty because they're not even trying to protect the United States of America.
You know, the first time I ever heard about that at all was in the dramatic TV show Weeds on Showtime, where she ends up hooking up or with this drug dealer guy down in South America, and they've got underground tunnels where they're kind of coming in with that stuff. And that was based on real truth. I had no idea that even existed. I mean, look at how we're not talking about the border. You know, Elon went to the border. He got over 150 million or over 100 million views of his live at the border, where you see people coming across and he's interviewing local officials there. And he really focused a lot of attention on that, which the media never had done. And then boom, we're not talking about that either, are we? This is a total consumption and a total jujitsu away from real domestic problems.
True. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been to Arizona, which I live, several times this year. And not one time did they ever think about going to the border.
Yeah.
And they've been here many, many times.
Right. Well, you know what? You must see this. See, the rest of America, even middle America, they don't quite feel the impact the way someone at the border does. But here I am, 22,000 miles away or whatever the distance is in New York City, and 10,000 newcomers every month, and Venezuelans filling up Midtown luxury hotels.
Yes.
And I used to go into Newsmax every Sunday. I get up at 6 a.m. so I can do an 8:40 hit up in Midtown in person on set. You want on television if you can be. You want to be there in person.
Sure.
And the subway used to be empty, but now it's filled with people. And they're largely immigrants, I believe, because they came out of nowhere and they often have new sneakers, new backpacks, and new cell phones. And so we're encouraging this. And yet, and the outgrowth of years of policy like this, because I have some real figures. You probably know them well. You know, fewer than 500,000 illegal border crossings or encounters tracked by customs immigration in the last year of Trump. And then more than 2 million a year, 4x in every year of Biden. Of course, COVID led to some of that, that plunge there under the last year of Trump. Okay. But 2 million a year for 3 years in a row. And they know that 1.5 million have actually gotten away and they don't even know who they are. And they know that in the fiscal year ended September 30, they got 151 arrests at the border that were on the terror watch list, which means how many got past that they didn't catch? 1,500? Do we think they're catching 10%? Do we think they're catching 90%? No way. All of that at the border is an outgrowth of all of this kind of ridiculous liberal policy that Obama and Biden embraced. You know, give us your poor huddled masses and anyone else who wants to cross and claim asylum. And I see it in New York City, and it's hurting the city when a Democrat mayor, Eric Adams, who is black and a former cop, comes out and literally tells the city council, this will destroy the city and I don't see a solution, because the solution is down there where you are, Amber, at the border, isn't it?
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real, this smells so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to heroesoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're going to save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount, and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So heroesoapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout.
Hey, this is Jeff Dornick, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mobile, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend, if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/amber. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.